Good morning and welcome to Midpoint, your midweek, mid-morning source for news and public affairs from a local perspective. As always, I'm your host, Shelley Rebeck. And before we begin today's program, I need to take a moment to say how grateful I am for the support you, our Midpoint listeners, showed for this program in last week's WMNF Fund Drive. I'm so proud that we exceeded the goal for our show through your generosity and support. That tells me that we are doing something right and something useful in bringing you the news through a progressive lens and breaking down the issues that affect Floridians in the Tampa Bay region with local people as our guests and experts offering you a local perspective on the issues of the day. We will do our best to continue that and to meet your expectations in the future. So if you somehow missed our WMNF Fund Drive last week, fear not. You can still donate to support Midpoint by going to the website at www.wmnf.org/donate to show that you value this program. You know, 70% or more of our funding at WMNF comes from you, our listeners, and WMNF has very few ways to gauge whether a program is popular or valued other than through the fundraising support it receives. So when you make your generous contribution, just look above the blue ribbon section on the webpage that asks if you'd like a thank you gift, because we do have swag available for your donations. And there, almost hidden, you will find the drop-down menu to direct your contribution to. In that menu, look for Midpoint Wednesday or MPW and let us know that you appreciate this program. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Okay, to the news. So, you thought it couldn't get any worse. Silly you. We've often talked on Midpoint about how the Florida legislative season is the most dangerous time of the year for the body politic. It is where bad laws are born and good laws go to die. This year has been particularly dispiriting and dangerous as the Republican-controlled Florida legislature has ignored the really pressing problems of average Floridians, like the crisis in affordable housing and out-of-control rents, like the crisis in the home insurance market, like the crisis in our public school teacher staffing, like the crisis in the health insurance coverage gap for 500,000 people in Florida due to our legislature's intransigent failure to expand Medicaid, like the crisis. Wait, how many times can I use the word crisis in one paragraph? But you get the idea. We have big problems. But this year, our legislature, with the support of our governor, who's got a presidential campaign to run, after all, our legislature ignored all of those enormous real problems that they were actually elected to address, to instead focus all their attentions on ginning up battles in the culture wars. Between their 15-week abortion ban, with no exceptions for rape or incest, to their, quote, stop woke bill, which seeks to protect the delicate sensibilities of white Floridians from the teachings of any history which might discomfort them, to today's topic, the, quote, don't say gay bill. The Republicans in the legislature have made it their business to get all up in our business, and not only have they ignored the problems we actually need them to solve, but as they depart Tallahassee next month, they are willing to leave the most vulnerable Floridians in greater danger from their laws than they were before. My guests today are two extraordinary women who've been fighting for our most vulnerable Floridians for many years, and we are lucky to have them at the forefront of these fights today. First, we'll be joined by Nadine Smith, an LGBTQ activist, founder and executive director of Equality Florida, the state's largest organization dedicated to ending discrimination based on sexual orientation. And then later, at around 10:30, we'll be joined by Anna Escamani, Democratic State House Representative from District 47 in the Orlando area, who has been a leading voice against all of these terrible bills this session. But first, Nadine Smith. Do we have Nadine with us? Welcome, Nadine. Are you with us? I don't hear Nadine on the line. Can we get her on the line? Let's bring her up. And let's, while we're waiting to get Nadine on the line, and Nadine, when you're on, say something so I know you're here. Let's set the stage. The Don't Say Gay bill, which is House Bill 1557, was filed by Representative Joe Harding of Williston, Florida, a mostly rural part of the state. And then on Friday, last Friday, Harding added insult to injury by filing an amendment to his own bill that would have required schools to essentially out any students who had expressed any sexual orientation other than straight to their parents, even if that disclosure could cause the student to be abused, abandoned, or neglected. After a huge national and statewide outcry, particularly over that amendment, on the grounds that such a disclosure endangered the lives and the well-being of children, Harding withdrew the amendment just yesterday afternoon. But his bill, the Don't Say Gay bill, lives on and is scheduled for a full vote on the House floor tomorrow. So is Nadine with us?
I'm here.
Okay, great.
Can you hear me?
Good. Now I can hear you. So, Nadine, tell us what HB 1557, the Don't Say Gay bill, tell us what it is all about and why it is called the Don't Say Gay bill.
Well, the thing that you have to know is that it's not just about one bill. It's about a whole roster of censorship and surveillance legislation that the DeSantis administration is pushing. And it's pushing it for one reason, not because some incident gave rise to this, not because it's addressing an actual need, but because DeSantis wants to be the president in 2024. And to get there, he has to outflank Donald Trump to the right. So these bills, this roster of bills from the Don't Say Gay bill, the Stop Woke Act, the 15-week abortion ban, all of these are Republican pollster tested, Heritage Foundation right-wing think tank crafted as part of a strategy to secure the loyalty of the Republican primary base that he shares right now with Donald Trump. So all of this legislation together, like, for example, the Stop Woke Act, also impacts classrooms, talks, you know, whitewashes history, calls for a parent to be able to sue if anything their child is taught makes them uncomfortable. So,
which also, doesn't it, Nadine, serve the additional Republican agenda purpose of creating chaos in the public schools so that they can be labeled as failures and so that the legislature can take more money away from our public school system and direct it to charters and other private religious schools?
Absolutely. You know, basically putting a bounty, a $10,000 bounty that says, hey, you find a reason to say you're personally offended by or made uncomfortable by or made to feel guilty by any part of the curriculum, you have a pathway to sue. That is an invitation to chaos.
Yeah.
And I think for the purpose that you're talking about. So the, you know, so these are checkboxes on a Republican presidential primary, you know, map. And that's why they're being pursued, despite the fact that parents overwhelmingly speaking out against it. The PTA, teachers are talking about the harm that this would inflict. Students are spontaneously organizing in their schools because even before this bill has moved all the way through the system, we're already seeing books being pulled off shelves. We are already seeing civil rights guest lecturers canceled. We are told that by teachers that they've been required to peel their rainbow pink school stickers off the doors in classrooms, including virtual classrooms, all because of the rhetoric that the folks backing this have been pushing out. And you can tell by who shows up to speak in support of this bill how that rhetoric is playing with their base. At the hearing, times a bit of a blur, but you know, if you watch the hearings on this bill, you will see the supporters of it making outrageous claims. You know, one man said this is necessary because men in Speedos are teaching elementary school students about sex in our schools. You know, just this level of absurdity. And then, you know, just to emphasize that cruelty is the point, you know, the previous hearing, there was lots of conversation about the danger of these bills, the vulnerability of kids. There had just been another tragic incident of a father beating his son so savagely, police were describing blood splattered across the boy's glasses, all because he got wind that his child had worn makeup at school. And
well, we know that this would potentially endanger kids. I mean, I think that statistics show that that, you know, kids who are bullied in school and are, you know, often attacked in school for what is perceived to be their sexual orientation are put in great danger in schools alone. And that's why, if I remember correctly, Nadine, in 2008, didn't Equality Florida's own efforts result in the passage of a statewide anti-bullying law that got school districts across the whole state to include sexual orientation and gender identity in their anti-bullying and anti-harassment policies. But this law seems in direct contradiction to all of these anti-bullying efforts in schools, doesn't it?
Well, absolutely. I mean, and the thing about it is the amendment that was brought forward that said that you must out a child, even if you know for a fact it will put that child in danger for abuse, neglect, abandonment. He introduced an amendment to make the bill worse, having heard all of those statistics, having heard all of the harms that are inflicted on young people. And only under extraordinary pressure did he withdraw that amendment. And there are other avenues along this path where that amendment can come back.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really important that people understand that's not a thing that happened out of ignorance. There had been lots of debate on this topic, and his response to it was, I understand that danger, and I'm specifically filing an amendment that says you still have to disclose. So I just want people to sit with the cruelty of that.
Yeah. The cruelty is the point of all of these, what you're calling the censorship and surveillance agenda, all of these bills, like Stop Woke, the Don't Say Gay bill, the 15-week abortion bill, the cruelty is the point for all of these, I think, bills that put people in positions that make their lives more difficult, not easier, which is what you would hope our legislators would be elected to serve, but more dangerous, more difficult.
Yeah, DeSantis has even called for, you know, cameras in the classroom, surveillance of teachers, monitoring of all conversations between students and teachers. And it is intended to intimidate. It is intended to create chaos in school. And it is having a chilling effect even now. I spoke at an event downtown, and the organizer came up to me and he said, you know, he hadn't been following all of the politics, but he said a parent told him that his daughter said to him was, he asked, his daughter had asked the teacher, what was the cause of slavery? Or what was the cause of the Civil War? And was it slavery? And the teacher's response was, ask your parent.
Right. Right.
That is absurd.
Absurd. This is school. You know, it is absurd. And a couple weeks ago, we had the president of the two Pinellas and Hillsborough teachers unions on our show to talk about that particular bill, about the Stay Woke bill, or Stop Woke bill, I should say, that wanted to prohibit classroom teachers from speaking in any way about history so that it would potentially make kids feel uncomfortable. And they talked about the impossibility of teaching history like that, with that hanging over their head. And we know, of course, that we have a huge crisis in public school teacher staffing, and this is one of the reasons why. Who wants to work like that? So, before we move on to talk more about that bill, I would like to understand specifically, or tell our listeners exactly what this Don't Say Gay bill, HB 1557, is supposed to do. What is it telling school personnel now to do? How is it supposed to operate in the schools?
Well, again, one thing I want to direct everybody to is our website, which is freetosaygay.org.
Freetosaygay.org, okay.
Right. You can also get there by going to stopdesantis.org. But it features two of our commercials. One is a young girl who, on speech day, comes to the front of the class, and the teacher asks her, who's your hero? And she said, I have two heroes. My mom. And then you see a red light flash and an alarm sound.
Meaning she has two moms.
Right.
Yeah.
And the teacher takes a deep breath and tells her to go ahead and finish her report. And then you hear the teacher being summoned to the
Saw that commercial. It's very powerful. It's a very powerful commercial.
Well, you know, thank you. And I think that, you know, when we first put it out there, people were going, you know, we wondered, okay, we don't want to be over the top here. But the reality is we have a governor who's called for cameras in the classroom, who's called for microphones on teachers, who has created an environment where teachers are watching every word for fear that they will trigger a lawsuit.
Right.
And that chaos is exactly what they want.
Now, is this bill supposed to apply to all grades or just lower grades or high schools too or what?
I'm so glad that we have not just a lobbying team in Tallahassee, but really smart lawyers who watch every single comma and understand the meaning. The way it is written, again, this is from a think tank from out of state that they cut and paste the language. So initially the language said that this applied to primary schools or I'll get back to the or in a moment. But there's no definition of primary school. So you had one sponsor saying it was K through 3, one saying it was K through 5. I think the Speaker of the House was on the Ben Shapiro show saying it was K through 8. But that's what happens when you use this sort of cut and paste that doesn't reference actual statute. So the language is vague precisely because it wasn't crafted for Florida. It was crafted for any state to use.
Mm-hmm.
And they say now, so it said primary school or anywhere deemed age inappropriate, which really throws the door open to K through 12.
Right, right.
And then you ask yourself, well, deemed inappropriate by who?
Right.
Especially when you have, one, some governmental entities that is tied to this DeSantis administration determining what is or is not appropriate. And two, you have basically a $10,000 bounty that says even if it's deemed appropriate by that entity, you now have to...
Right, you have a vigilante troop of bounty hunters out there, you know, looking for every possible opportunity. Why wouldn't they claim it's inappropriate in grade 12, for example? Right. I mean... It's crazy, you know, but it does seem to me that if or when it passes, because it does seem likely to pass in some form, doesn't it?
Well, you know, that's the thing about legislative session. Last year, the ban on all trans athletes in elementary school was dead. You know, even the sponsor said, you know, they weren't able to move it. And then in the 11th hour, they stuck it to another bill that wasn't germane. And cut deals. So there are bills that, you know, there's a bill that would allow healthcare providers to say, we don't serve your kind. You know, that bill was filed in one chamber but not the other, and it still has a pathway forward. We've also seen bills that seem like they're heading towards certain victory collapse in the final hours. And I will say this about this bill. There's polling that just came out today that shows the majority of Floridians oppose the bill, and the young, you know, you get under the age of 55, they overwhelmingly oppose the bill.
Mm-hmm.
The people who support it the most are white Republican conservatives who don't have children in the school system.
Who don't have children in the school system, which is a fact that it seems to be true of all of these bills lately. The book bannings, the same thing. The people who show up at school boards to complain about these books are people who don't have kids in the school system, too.
But right. And now they want to call this parental control, but it really is about somebody else controlling what my kid gets to
right.
or see or hear.
Right.
They're not even content to say, hey, I want control over what my kid, which right now in schools, there's a lot of ability to say, I don't want my son to get this instruction, or I don't want him to participate in this program. But for me to be able to say, I don't want it for my kid, and I deny it to your kid,
right.
not parental control, that's tyranny.
Yeah, exactly. That's fascism. You know, if it passes, I would think, I've been thinking about this a lot, I would think that at least in the older grades, at least for older kids who understand what gay is, what it means, that it would be like an I Am Spartacus moment. Maybe that's just a fantasy that I have. But, you know, remember in the movie Spartacus when the Roman guards come to the slaves to get Spartacus and ask, who is Spartacus? And one by one, all of the slaves stand up and they all say, I am Spartacus. I love that scene. It always gives me the chills. How cool would it be if kids all across Florida today showed that same kind of empathy, and on the day that the law goes into effect, they all stand up and declare, I'm gay. You know, that movie actually was the end of the McCarthy era blacklist, you know, which is being revived by DeSantis today, because in that movie, Kirk Douglas, who was Spartacus and also produced it, hired Dalton Trumbo, who was one of the Hollywood Ten, a group of writers and directors who were cited for contempt of Congress for refusing to testify and refusing to name names before the House Un-American Activities Committee. And in Florida, around the same time as that whole McCarthy era, we had the infamous Johns Committee that was a legislative committee that was charged with looking to purge communists and homosexuals in Florida universities. So now we're asking our public schools to look for gay kids in school. It's outrageous. It's backward. It's fascistic. And, you know, what are teachers supposed to do when they find them? I mean, it's ridiculous. I just hope that at least among older kids who understand, you know, what is being threatened here, that they have that I am Spartacus moment.
Well, I will tell you that young people have begun organizing. They didn't ask anybody's permission to respond to this bill. They are angry about it. They've started book clubs. They've held rallies in their school and organized rallies in their community. And, you know, we are prepared, should this pass, we are prepared to, you know, fight in court. But we also are prepared to, you know, use the vagueness of their language against them. I mean, honestly, what this bill says is that you can have no discussion about sexual orientation or gender identity, which quite literally means if your teacher is pregnant and you ask, you know, are you having a boy or a girl, that teacher should say, go ask your parents.
Right.
Right?
It's insane. It's ridiculous.
And they also want to convolute the ideas of one having a sexual orientation with conversations about sex. Right? Which, again, if Mrs. Harper marries Coach Dillon, she should not be able to say anything about it, confirm or deny, lest she inform the class of her sexual orientation. But to these folks, just for her to say, yes, I'm marrying, you know, Coach Dillon is my husband, is for her to reveal her orientation.
Right.
Or to acknowledge that she has a sexual orientation. It's madness, because what they equate is sexual activity and the existence of one's sexual orientation. You can tell me your sexual orientation and tell me absolutely nothing about your sex life.
Right.
If you have one, whether
right.
you're celibate, whether you're monogamous, polyamorous, you still haven't told me about your actual sex life.
Right.
Other things.
You know, there seems to be so many avenues for legal challenge to a law like this. Everything from it being in conflict with these anti-bullying laws to fundamental First Amendment violations. I mean,
right.
What about that? I mean, I'm sure like Equality Florida has lawyers looking into all of those avenues. I would hope anyway. But I think,
to be clear, under this law, a teacher would have to would have been expected to call and say, "I believe your child is straight." You know what I mean?
Yeah, right. So is that part of it? Like every teacher has to call every parent now and say, you know, don't forget to sign your permission slips for the field trip. And oh, by the way, you know, Johnny's straight, yeah. Susie's gay. You know, every right. single one has to, you know, be labeled.
Technically.
Yeah. I would imagine, you know.
Sex orientation and gender identity, forget that that means, you know, doesn't just mean gay people, but their intent is to say.
Of course.
It's to stigmatize, isolate, and to imply that the existence of LGBT people is somehow sinister or sordid. And so the casual invocation of, hey, Bayard Rustin was critical to the civil rights movement. In fact, he really pushed King in the direction of Gandhi and nonviolence and was a mentor. Wow, how come we don't hear his name? Well, he was also a gay man at a time when da-da-da. Right?
Yeah.
You can't tell that history without including the fact that he was gay is integral to the story of why he was marginalized. The Harlem Renaissance, you can't talk about the Harlem Renaissance and all of that artistry, all of that philosophy, all of the incredible thinkers that came out of it without talking about how marginalized they were, why they were congregated in Harlem in this manner, and, you know, how they came to be, have the ability to see the world from a different vantage point. And it all stemmed from their...
Yeah, you know, Fentress Driscoll, who's also been one of the leading voices against this law, all of these laws that we've been talking about today, was on the Joy Reid show last night on MSNBC, and she talked about these laws as erasing our stories, you know, erasing the stories of Black people in America under this Stop Woke law, erasing the stories of gay people. And you know, I thought that was a very, very apt and very poignant way to discuss it. So, Nadine, can you stay with us? I've got Anna Eskimani joining the conversation with us. Can you stay with us with Anna on the line? Sure. Okay. Let's bring Anna on. Can we do that, Jessica? Anna, are you with us?
Hi.
Hi, great to have you. So I don't know if you've been able to listen. You've probably been busy up there during the first half hour of the show, but we've been talking with Nadine Smith from Equality Florida about the Don't Say Gay bill, and actually about all of these recent bills in the what Nadine calls the censorship and surveillance agenda of Governor DeSantis, the Stop Woke
absolutely.
Bill, the 15-week abortion bill, and of course the Don't Say Gay bill. And I invited you here today, Anna, because I caught your legislative update on Facebook a few days ago, on Friday, I guess, and I was just struck by how much time and energy this Republican-controlled state legislature is putting into things that really don't help Floridians. You know, you went through all of the pending bills that were on the table last week that were being taken up this week. And it was just remarkable to me and so dispiriting to see how much energy and time is being devoted to things that actually endanger and hurt the citizens of Florida rather than help them. How many problems are being ignored in favor of this culture war agenda? And I wonder, where are we at today, after the hearings of this week?
Well, first of all, it's an honor to join y'all today, especially alongside one of my good friends and just champions for Florida, Nadine Smith. And so thanks so much for the invitation. Things are being fast-tracked through this process. The surveillance and control agenda of Governor DeSantis and his Republican colleagues is very clear to us. I mean, you mentioned House Bill 5, the 15-week abortion ban, of course, HB 7, which I like to call the Anti-Learning Act, and, you know, would not allow teachers to talk about situations in American history that are difficult but important for young people to hear. And by the way, it's not even just educational institutions. HB7 goes into the private sector as well. And, you know, I asked questions on the House floor yesterday about medical practitioners. And if you do a training that talks about racial disparities and the history of that in medicine, that could make a white doctor uncomfortable. It could make any doctor uncomfortable because it's so dark and upsetting.
Right.
Would that type of training be allowed? And they couldn't even answer the question. And then, of course, House Bill 1557, the Don't Say Gay bill, so demeaning, rooted in homophobic and transphobia. And honestly, I think what we're seeing is, you know, the far right dictate the agenda, and their perspectives are not based in any type of evidence or fact. And in contrast, these are folks who do not understand sexual orientation or gender identity, and they truly do believe that schools who are inclusive are making our kids gay. and you can see that with online social media postings. You can see that in their public testimony. They keep trying to brand it as being about a parent's rights. And when I asked the question on the House floor yesterday, the bill sponsor, do parents get to choose if their kids are gay? I was told that question wasn't relevant to the bill. But I think it is. I think what we're seeing is folks who truly believe that if someone identifies as LGBTQ+, it's a preference, not that it's their authentic self. And so we are combating this type
right.
of homophobia and transphobia.
These are the same people that don't even understand how the female reproductive system works.
Correct.
One of the things that struck me in watching the hearings on the Florida Channel was, Anna, the heightened level of emotion and the despair that I've seen in watching the House hearings this session from the Democrats. You know, on the Don't Say Gay bill, for example, which put Fentress in tears, one, and the 15-week abortion ban hearing. You know, Fentress is crying. Michelle Rayner, who's the first black queer woman elected to the Florida House, acknowledging her wife, Bianca Goolsbee, in the gallery and announcing, "We love being gay." And Senator Lauren Book is a victim of sexual abuse as a child, trying and failing to get an amendment to the 15-week abortion ban for rape or incest. I mean, it has been a whole mood up there. It's been heartbreaking and exhausting to watch as a citizen. But, you know, how has it felt to actually be there for this?
Well, I definitely feel the personal aspects of it. You know, Representative Carlos Smith was told on the House floor by the Speaker yesterday that, you know, we can't be personal about these issues. But the reality is that that's impossible.
Of
you know,
course.
You're challenging the very existence of LGBTQ+ members. You are taking away my bodily autonomy, the ability for me to make a decision about my health, especially when the majority legislature is men. And there's also, of course, an age difference where most folks are not of reproductive age. And so you're dictating on, you know, the rest of the population that's not represented in this chamber, what they can and cannot do with decisions about their pregnancy, all the way also to, you know, some other policies that maybe haven't got as much attention, but you have a medical refusal bill that would allow doctors to refuse serving patients based on, you know, their morals.
Their religious or moral objection, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, so
yeah.
There's a lot of other bills
crazy.
That maybe aren't center stage, but are unfortunately all from the same playbook. And a lot of times it's political rhetoric masqueraded as a bill.
Yeah.
But I have to say that even if some of this is, you know, motivated by culture wars, the impact is still profound.
Yeah.
There's also an anti-immigrant bill moving as well. And the governor has already been attacking immigrant kids through the executive order process. And so every type of person right now is at risk. And it's so important for everyday Floridians to be watching this and to get engaged, because this is supposed to be a legislative body that solves problems. And we have as you mentioned earlier, skyrocketing rents right now. And everyday folks ask me, what are we doing about the rent crisis? And, you know, I can reference the bills I have filed and the programs I've worked on, but this legislative body is completely ignoring it. And they would rather pursue these distractions and actually solve these problems.
You know, I have a question I want to direct to both of you, actually. In in 2016, you know, one of the things that's so difficult is for people like me who pay attention to politics, is what to do. You know, what to do to try to influence what is happening in the Florida legislature. And one of the things I was remembering was that back in like 2016, when North Carolina was in the midst of passing its own anti-gay legislation, and the state took a beating, not only in the media, but in terms of threats to its economy as corporations threatened to withdraw support or not move into the state, and business conventions and events were threatened with cancellations, and the business community really seemed to step up the pressure on the North Carolina legislature not to pass these kinds of bigoted laws. But that doesn't seem to be happening in Florida now. So I have to ask, like, where's the business community on this? Where are all these corporations who now celebrate Pride Month with rainbow merch and, you know, they put gay families in their commercials? And I wonder, you know, where is the business community on this? And whether, maybe Nadine, you know, is there a call for a boycott or anything that citizens should do to pressure the business community to withdraw their support from these bigoted legislators? Or what can people do?
Yeah, I mean, I'd love to hear some of Nadine's perspectives, because I know Nadine with Equality Florida has really built, in the, over the years, a coalition of businesses that have supported policies around equality.
Yeah, gay means business, right, Nadine? I mean,
equality means business.
Equality means, you know, business, yeah. Right? Yeah. Where's the business community on this?
Yeah, that I think that is a good question, and one that everyone you know, ought to be raising with the companies that are there at Pride and you know, do outreach and marketing to LGBT consumers, but are very quiet right now. It's a real problem. And I think that what you see at the national level and here in Florida, the entire premise behind the Stop Woke, the attack on companies, calling them woke, I think they name-checked four companies from the floor yesterday, Coca-Cola, yeah. I can't remember all of them. Yeah, just to basically say, we're coming after your diversity, equity, and inclusion program. That's why we're pushing this legislation. So you have seen them engage in the politics of backlash and retribution against companies. And the question, that the gut check moment for companies is, are you going to stand on these values that you're espousing, or are you going to cower?
Right.
And I think some businesses are stepping forward, and others are trying to see which way the wind blows, and
it just feels so much.
Values aren't theirs after all.
It just feels so much like the McCarthy era, doesn't it? Like the, you know.
If I could add a little bit more too, because I agree with Nadine's assertion here that, you know, the big businesses are weighing their risk on this, and it's pretty gross, to be candid, because these are the same businesses that come out to Pride. They wear, you know, they pass out rainbow swag with their brands on it. And yet they really have been silent in the face of the Don't Say Gay bill. And they've been silent in the face of the abortion ban as well, even though, you know, these are companies that also want to attract and retain top talent. And that top talent is going to be diverse. So what we're seeing is the Florida Republican Party, as Nadine is saying, kind of expanding their fundraising base to go beyond corporations. And Governor DeSantis is an example of this. Governor DeSantis is raising money from a national email list where culture wars win. So every time he signs a terrible culture war bill, he raises money off it.
He's going to California to raise money for his.
Correct. So I share that because Governor DeSantis is, you know, he still receives a great deal of corporate money, and especially money from political committees operated by corporations. But his donor base is so diverse, candidly, that he doesn't actually even have to do what corporations tell him to do. And right now, corporations, they're trying to get tax breaks, and they're also trying to kill this privacy bill that is the priority of the Speaker of the House. I share that insider baseball information because businesses are weighing their other policy priorities on next to these. And the sad reality is that if a business has to choose to pursue something that makes them more money versus something that's you know, equity focused. Unfortunately, as we've seen in other scenarios where companies said they'd stop giving to insurrectionist elected officials and then restarted those gifts, you know, they tend to lean towards their bottom line. So I agree with Nadine that the public pressure towards the big business community needs to be felt. And actually, you know, I've amplified that on social media myself. But that's the situation we're in, is where they're more and candidly, if you talk to the business lobby corps, they have more influence in the Senate than they do in the House right now. So I really do encourage folks to contact your state senators, because they seem to be not as aggressive in fast-tracking these bills. You know, and so I do think if someone's thinking, where can I make my calls of advocacy, you want to contact state senators, but also reach out to the biggest businesses in Florida, Publix's, Walt Disney World, AT&T, like, reach out to these companies, especially if you're a customer of them, and ask them to take a position.
Well, that's good advice. I, you know, that was one of the questions I had for our listeners, is what can people do about this? And if, by the way, if you've got questions or comments for our guest, Nadine Smith from Equality Florida, or Anna Escamani, State House Rep from District 47, if you've got some thoughts about these laws, let us know at 813-239-9663. Email me at dj@wmnf.org or text at 813-433-0885. I haven't been taking calls or soliciting too many emails because we've had these guests and so much to talk about. But I do have a few emails I want to share with you, my guests. I have an email from Greg who says, "This scapegoating law will drive children to suicide. It is unconscionable that the leader, quote unquote, of a state would seek during a pandemic epidemic of suicide to kill even more of our children. This law is a further violation of the human rights of U.S. citizens by our own government." That's an email from Greg. And Mark says, "Good morning, Shelley. Love your show. It's interesting to me that they are pushing to erase Black American history, but the folks who tell me they want to keep Confederate statues say it's because they don't want their history to go away." And that's from Mark from Brandon. Thank you, Mark from Brandon, for your support in the fundraising. And we have someone who sent a bunch of memes to me, too, but wants to talk about the privatization of public education as an idea that's as stupid as it is greedy. It's throwing our kids to the wolves. So, you know, we have some listeners, obviously, that are sharing the viewpoint that we've been discussing today against these kinds of bills. And I know that they want to know what they can do. What can they do to help you, Anna, in the legislature with standing up to these bills, and to help you, Nadine, in your advocacy work for Equality Florida? So let me hear from you. What can they do?
Well, you know, there are two things that I think are super important right now. One of them is that legislators, particularly in the Senate, where this has not moved as far as it has in the House, have got to hear from the public. If you go to freetosaygay.org, it will link you to the commercials that we've been running, and please circulate them. But it'll also link you to actions you can take, and it's easy to make phone calls. If you've got time to volunteer, we're having days of action where we have volunteers patch through calls from voters in Florida so they can talk directly to their legislators. It has a huge impact, and the pressure is building. So freetosaygay.org is one of the ways. But there's the other reality is there's a circle of influence that each of us has that no organization, nobody else but your voice is going to move this. And I think Rep. Escamani really hit the nail on the head with her question that was that Sprouse would not allow to be heard. And it comes down to this. Their agenda is the elimination of LGBTQ people. They don't believe we exist. They believe we're in rebellion against the natural order of things. And so when they hear that these bills will cause more suicide, cause parents to react brutally to their kids, that is not a disincentive. In fact, they think, you know, I remember when we were...
Oh, my God, that's horrible. That's horrible. Do you really believe that? That's horrible.
Absolutely. Absolutely. When we were working to pass an anti-bullying bill, legislators repeatedly said to young people telling their bullying stories, if you're getting bullied, it's your own fault. That's you, you know, you need to hide. You shouldn't exist. And if you exist, you better hide. And if you don't hide successfully, any harm that comes to you is your own damn fault. That is their philosophy. And so for them, they will do nothing to affirm the existence of LGBT.
That seems like the same thing that they say about why there should be no exception for rape or incest in the 15-week abortion bill. Well, you know, if you got pregnant, it's your own damn fault.
Yeah, because if you didn't want to get pregnant, your body has a way of repelling, you know, all of that.
Right.
It's absurd, but it's rooted in the same thing. And so for them, it is conversion therapy is good. Parents punishing their children for being LGBT is good parenting. That's really what this comes down to. And they believe that LGBTQ people only exist because of nefarious influences from Hollywood, from teachers. They literally talk about teachers smuggling in curriculum. It's madness, but it is what animates their actions, and it's why they have absolutely no compunction about doing things that make the world more dangerous. Who could be against bullying, and yet they imposed it year in and year out, because to recognize bullying against LGBTQ people would be to recognize that LGBTQ people exist.
You know, I feel like, you know, Fentress crying, you know, I mean, it's just so heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking because it's not just a question of saying, you know, getting their constituents to say, I'm not going to vote for you because of this. I think these are people who don't care, you know, I mean, I think they want to keep their positions in the legislature, but they don't feel like they will suffer any negative consequences from promoting this kind of an agenda. You know, Joe Harding, the representative who promoted this Don't Say Gay bill, is from a rural area, right, Anna? I mean, he's not going to lose votes because of this horrible bill. I mean, his constituents put him there. They'll put him back there. You know, you don't see these bills coming from the urban areas, you know, which are more diverse.
They are, but also understand that the generation that's emerging doesn't buy what he's selling.
Right. 100%
agree. The under 55 voter isn't caught up in that. They know their cousins, their friends, their coworkers. They weren't steeped in that ignorance, and they reject it overwhelmingly. And so, just like with marriage equality, it was a foot race where they were trying to get to every state constitution before the tide shifted, we're in that fight right now, and our job is to keep them from doing as much harm in the gap between where we are now and where we will be.
So it seems like for the last 7 or 8 weeks, I've been doing these shows on all these terrible bills that have been promoted in the legislature since the session began, even before the session began. I've been doing these shows on these bills. And I always ask the guests at the end, you know, what can people do? And it comes down to the same thing, and that is get out and vote. Don't put these people back there where they can continue to promote these things that, you know, hurt Floridians. I think that's really fundamentally the answer. You know, get out and vote. It's not just advocacy. Yeah. It's not just calling your legislators.
It's not even just get out and vote. It's get out and help other people vote. You know, candidly, it can get a little frustrating when, you know, I do see folks who express, you know, frustration about these bills, and they come to us and they say, you know, what are you doing about it? And I have to explain to them, we're doing everything we can, but we don't have the numbers.
Right.
You know, the Florida House is 120 members and only 40-some Democrats. Like, there just isn't enough of us to stop these bills. And so we need you to not just be engaged during legislative session, But when session ends after March 11th, come out and knock on doors with us. Come out and register voters. You know, I launched a statewide voter reg initiative called People Power for Florida. I have raised money. I have hired staff, and we have over 200 volunteers. And our entire vision is just to help build political efficacy in every part of Florida, so that folks don't just, you know, get angry when they see this become law, but that anger becomes a motivation to change the electorate and to make sure that not only you are voting, but you're bringing five people with you to the polls. And so I really actually encourage folks to not just see it as your own personal civic duty, but we need you to help build collective efficacy with us. And there's many organizations that you can get plugged into, not just ours, to do that. But we got to turn this energy into actual organizing and power building. It can't just exist on Twitter. We really got to have you come out with us and get to the doors, get to the farmers markets, get to our grocery stores, talk to voters one-on-one, and inspire more people to actually get registered and vote.
Yeah, if you're not in House District 47, there are candidates running at every level of government. Are right around you, in your neighborhood, in your county, you know, who need your help. Because really, truly, until the numbers change in the Florida state legislature, you know, we're going to continue to see these terrible bills. And, you know, that's the bottom line. I mean, people need to turn out in huge numbers to vote in order to, you know, avoid the consequences of this of terrible gerrymandering, avoid the consequences of, you know, having people take over supervisors of elections offices and act, you know, inappropriately with respect to votes. I mean, people need to get involved, and they need to, like Nadine said, they need to tap into their own circle of influence and bring those people along with them. I think that that's really the bottom line here, because I do believe that these bills are going to be, they're going to be, most of them are going to pass, the governor is going to sign them, and we're going to have to live with them.
Well, let me say this, Jillian, we've known each other for a long time, and we've fought lots of fights together.
Yeah.
And I think, at the risk of invoking Jesse Jackson, a lack of hope serves them. If it's possible to stop this bill, we're going to stop it. Momentum is on our side. We're hitting them, and we have diminished what they thought was going to be a walk in the park. It's even eroding support from the very people that they were counting on feeding this red meat to. If it's not possible to stop it, we're going to stop the greatest harms that it can inflict. And we saw that yesterday with the withdrawal of that amendment. We're going to stay vigilant to see if they try to sneak it back in. But we are going to
keep hope alive.
And if it passes, that's not the end of it either, because we know
right.
that people who dedicate themselves to kids are going to fight with everything they have to keep kids safe.
Right. It's
the reason why it was important to us that the teacher in our commercial not give in to this unjust law and stood with that kid.
Right. I've got to cut you off, Nadine, because we're going to lose it to NPR News. But I want to thank Nadine Smith from Equality Florida and Anna Askamani from House District 47 for being with us here today and for fighting the good fight in Tallahassee this session and every day at home. I want to thank my sound engineer, Jessica Green, and my phone answerer, Barbara Fling. And many thanks again to the listeners of WMNF and Midpoint for supporting us in this show. You can drop a dime in our tip jar at WMNF.org/donate and direct your donations to Midpoint for more news and public affairs from a local perspective. Please stay tuned now for Talking Animals with Duncan Strauss next. This is WMNF Tampa. Smiles in the making.